fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Would you rather have Chiefs, the Patriots, Saints, or the Rams? It's your Fantasy Football Today podcast. We're coming to you on Thursday, January 17th. I'm Jamie Eisenberg with Dave Richard and Heath Cummings. We are previewing the championship weekend, championship Sunday. You guys fired up? We are two games away, four teams away from getting to Super Bowl 53, which will be on February 3rd, thankfully, on CBS.
It's exciting times. Tough games to figure out. They should be high-scoring blowouts, lots of points, but the playoffs haven't really delivered a lot of that for us this year.
Yeah, I think the weather in Kansas City is something people have talked about a lot. It's going to be exciting regardless, but it does look like it's warming up there. If you get the Saints and Rams indoors and you get the Chiefs and Patriots, it's like 25 degrees instead of 5 degrees. This could be one of the best weekends we've seen.
Let's hope so. It's the top four scoring offenses in the NFL from the regular season. We will preview that. The championship round in a little bit. We got a lot to get to today. What's coming up on today's show? We're going to play a little game called Would You Rather Have. I'm going to give the guys a couple of scenarios with players in the playoffs and some draft, selections that they have to make, some rounds that they have to decide on, you know, kind of some of the questions you send in. So we'll play that game in a little bit. Go over some news and notes. The latest on Cam Newton with his shoulder, Leonard Fournette with his status with the Jaguars, and three new offensive coordinators in Detroit, Denver, and Jacksonville. We will preview each game, give you some DFS plays for both FanDuel and DraftKings. The guys will give good buys and bad buys on each site. And then I promise, I know I've been saying it for a couple of shows now, but we will get to your emails. Thank you guys for sending them in. You can email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Did I get that right, Dave?
Yeah.
Fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Let's see how many emails we actually get to. I'm challenging you.
You're challenging me?
You got to get to at least two.
I have eight for us to read today, so I hope to get to all eight. All right. So let's play this little game. It's called Would You Rather Have. I'm trying to take the mantle from our buddy Adam Azer.
This is clearly an Adam Azer
game. Oh, for sure. No, it's actually my game, but it's taking, you know, what he usually likes to do. He yells at me when I send him the show notes every week that let's do something a little bit more topical for 2019 as opposed to just getting into stuff that's going on right now. So what I wanted to do is give you guys some scenarios of players in the playoffs using a couple of the drafts that we just have done. We did a PPR mock draft. We did a non-PPR mock draft. You could read about both of those on the site on cbsports.com if you want the full results. What I did was I took some of the results of the players that are in the playoffs and I want to give you guys a couple of scenarios. This is more slanted toward PPR and just which player would you rather have given the draft value that they will potentially be in. So let's start at the quarterback position. So would you rather have Patrick Mahomes in round two, Drew Brees in round 7, Jared Goff in round 10, or Tom Brady in round 13? Dave, I'll start with you.
I'll say Goff in round 10 is who I'd go with.
Why?
I liked what I've seen from him. Haven't liked what I've seen from him over the last 5 or 6 games.
Week 17 was good, but otherwise.
But other than that, he's been crapola.
Mm-hmm.
But earlier than that, excuse me, he's been great. He'll have Cooper Kupp back, new wrinkles in the offense, and tremendous value in round 10.
Heath, what about you?
Goff is probably my answer. If it's the very last pick of the second round, I might say Mahomes. I'm not going to spend an early second round pick on him, but if it's the very last pick, I might say Mahomes. But Goff, I mean, he threw for 4,600 yards this year, 32 touchdowns. That's phenomenal in round 10. I'm not sure he'll be there or not, but I'll say Goff.
Now, if you were in the middle of round 2,
it's Goff for sure.
Okay.
If it's the last pick or
you're
last
literally
pick
talking 23rd overall, 24th overall.
I'll take Mahomes.
That's your Mahomes territory.
Yeah. And again, just in terms of where Mahomes went in our most recent two drafts, he went in the beginning part of round 2. I think it was 14 or 15 overall in the PPR mock draft. You took him, Heath, in the beginning part of the third round in the non-PPR draft. So he's going to have a wide range of ADP depending on if it's an analyst draft versus a non-analyst draft. And, you know, we'll see where he ends up. Also, 4 points for passing touchdowns versus 6 points for passing touchdowns. So with the running backs, there's a couple of different scenarios along with where the draft value will be because we have some things that we don't exactly know yet going into the offseason. So I'm going to give you the would you rather have, but I'm going to explain it a little bit. So would you rather have these running backs, Todd Gurley in the first round, but They have brought back CJ Anderson for the 2019 season. Damian Williams in round three, if he's the start or as the starter. So he's the guy in Kansas City.
They didn't add anybody of significance.
They brought in just, you know, guys to be backups. Sony Michel in round four. Remember, this is PPR. Mark Ingram in round six, and this is not knowing where he's playing next year. So Gurley in round one with CJ Anderson on the Rams. Damian Williams in round three with no one of significance on the Chiefs. Sony Michel in round four or Mark Ingram in round six. Heath, I'll start with you this time.
I just like trying to put in my mind what the time period is that I'm making this decision. That CJ Anderson's already back. Damian Williams is definitely the starter and Mark Ingram's out there in no man's land. But I'll go with Sony Michel.
Let's say it's the NFL draft and Ingram has not been signed.
Okay. I'll go with Sony Michel. I think round four for him is a pretty fantastic value. I think he's going to be a round two or three pick.
In PPR.
Even in PPR.
I think he'll be a round two guy in PPR.
Round three.
Because he was round four in non-PPR.
Yeah, he needs to be a round three guy.
Okay.
It's Damian Williams. We're talking about an Andy Reid running back with...
I still don't believe it.
No, you have to believe it. This is the scenario that's played
out. Well, you don't have to believe that he can be successful, but you have to believe he's the guy.
They didn't add any other running backs. After winning the Super Bowl, they decided to add different pieces.
They're going
elsewhere.
With Damian Williams, Spencer Ware, and Charcandrick Quest.
Well, I don't know if Spencer Ware's there. I don't even care.
It could be Damian Williams, Daryl Williams, and they bring back Kerwin Williams. So they just go with the all Williams backfield.
We've seen what he can do. We know what he's capable of. Nice track record to end the year. Great track record of Andy Reid with his running backs. And I'm getting him in round three?
You're getting him round three.
God bless you, James.
Okay, there
what
you go.
What a gift.
So you'll take Sony Michel. You'll take Damian Williams. Again, this is some decisions that people may have to make. And then we go to the wide receiver. I would take Damian Williams as well, again, with the scenario of him being the guy. For the quarterbacks, I probably would actually take Breeze in round seven, just assuming that he's back with a full complement of wide receivers.
May I ask one last thing quickly?
Sure.
No one took Gurley in round one. Is it because the CJ Anderson split is real and you're worried about him now not having that, hammer lock on all those touches in 2019?
When I tried to put the group of running backs together, I thought, okay, do I do Gurley in round one or do I do Kamara in round one? And I think Kamara was probably going to be, my guess, is the fifth or sixth player off the board, depending on how we all view Christian McCaffrey being the fourth guy, with Gurley, Zeke, and Saquon Barkley as the top three in some order.
Okay.
But I thought Gurley with CJ Anderson, just based on the conversation we had on Monday, was a little bit more relevant. And with what you said, Heath, that you may drop Gurley down a couple of spots if CJ Anderson is back.
Yeah, and I was thinking of it as I have the number one pick if I'm thinking about Gurley in round one. If he's there at three, then maybe the answer is Todd Gurley.
Okay, fair enough. So depending on how the draft goes and where you are picking round one, also where you're picking round two when it comes to Mahomes with the quarterbacks. All right, so I'll wrap this up with the wide receivers because there really are no tight ends in the playoffs that you're going to take outside of Travis Kelce. Would you rather have Michael Thomas in round one? Now, he went in round two in our two drafts, so we're pushing him up a little bit. Tyreek Hill in round two. Julian Edelman in round four. Now you could flip-flop this if you guys want, if you want to put the Rams guys in round five, but I have Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods in round five. I think Edelman, just based on how he's finishing this season and what the receiving core looks like in New England next year, may be drafted ahead of the two Rams guys in PPR. So Michael Thomas in round one, Tyreek Hill in round two, Julian Edelman in round four, or the combination pick a Rams receiver, Cooks or Robert Woods in round five. Dave, go ahead.
I'm actually going to see just how consistent Edelman was in full PPR this past year.
He had 10 of 13 games with either 90 yards or a touchdown.
And remember, 10 of 13 games. Oh, I'm not even looking at PPR when I'm doing this. My bad.
Doesn't matter about the
score. I'm going to take Michael Thomas.
You already have your answer, Heath. Go ahead.
I'm going to take Michael Thomas, and I just tweeted something out about this morning. He has 10% more catches than any player in NFL history in his first three seasons. I knew that he broke the reception record that Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham shared. He has 33 more catches than those guys had in their first 3 years. If it's PPR, I'll take Thomas in the first.
Okay. So just let me give you one scenario. What if Breeze retires?
Well, then I would not want Michael Thomas.
Not in the first round.
In
this magical made-up scenario, is Breeze playing or not?
Breeze is playing.
Okay. If Breeze was out, then my choice would probably be Edelman.
Wow, look at you.
I mean, are we assuming the Patriots have added no other wide receivers?
You know, I was thinking of this scenario. First off, if you're the Patriots, you have to at least offer a first-round pick for Antonio Brown because of where they pick and what he could potentially bring to them.
The Steelers aren't
going to do it. But if that's the only first-round pick on the table? They might have to consider it.
Maybe. It's the highest pick they get.
Yeah, they might have to consider it. In any event, they will upgrade their receiving corps, but Edelman, you know, is going to be heavily involved.
Just thinking about Antonio Brown in that offense.
So you're taking Michael Thomas.
I'll take Michael Thomas.
Under the current
standard. Okay, so I looked up how often Julian Edelman had a top 12 type of finish in PPR, meaning he had at least 18 PPR fantasy points. He had it 6 times. It's not bad in 14 games. Tyreek Hill had more. Michael Thomas, I believe, had even more than that. I'm still going to go with Tyreek Hill.
I think
that he's just in round two. If it was Michael Thomas in round two, I'm taking Michael Thomas.
Well, that's why but I didn't Tyreek put Michael Hill. Thomas in round two. That's
he can have him in round one. I'll take Tyreek Hill in round two because you know his potential from week to week is just unbelievably good.
And Tyreek Hill, I don't know this off the top of my head, but 137 targets, that's certainly the highest for him in the NFL so far. I wonder if that's among the league leaders for Andy Reid's offenses over the course of his time as a head coach. Because, again, he doesn't typically feature his number one guy to the same level. And this is just me speculating. I do not know that to be true. I just think that might be among the highest of the most targeted number one receivers he's ever had. So that was fun. We'll probably do a little bit more of that as we get closer to the Super Bowl with some of the other with the two teams. Maybe we'll come up with some different scenarios as well. But I hope Adam likes that, playing a little game. He likes to play all those little.
And if he doesn't, scenarios. Too damn bad.
That's right.
He's too busy changing diapers and watching Netflix.
That's right. Come host the podcast. He told me when I called him last night, he said, all right, I got to go. The wife and I are going to go snuggle up on the couch and watch some television. So I hope they enjoyed their programming. Some news and notes around the NFL, a couple of players in particular. So ESPN is speculating that Cam Newton could potentially miss the 2019 season with the shoulder injury, similar to what happened with Andrew Luck in 2017. I'm laughing because things in our podcast studio are falling apart, so we'll have to have that fixed. So this comes off of comments from Panthers owner David Tepper, who said, if you told me he took a year off and could recover and be fully recovered and everything else, and that's what it took, an extra year, why wouldn't you do that? And that was what Tepper said on Tuesday when he met with the media. So in our non-PPR mock draft, Cam Newton was drafted in round 9. He was the number 7 quarterback off the board behind Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, and Deshaun Watson. That was too high for me. I took him as, I think, the 14th or 15th quarterback in the PPR draft, but that was in round 13. So knowing what we know now about Cam, that he missed the final 2 games of the regular season, that he has a shoulder problem, that there may be some potential for not just surgery, but missing the entire year. For Dynasty and Keeper League owners, what's the approach, Heath?
Wait and see. I mean, at this point, there's not really much you can do. I didn't, like, reading all of Tepper's comments, I did not take it to mean that he thinks that Cam Newton is going to miss the season or that he's really considering that it's a possibility right now. He was just answering the question that was asked to him, and it started out as a question about what we saw Andrew Luck do this season. So I didn't like the fact that that became a news story, and it makes you a little bit nervous. I don't think it's not a possibility, but I don't think it's particularly likely at this point.
I hate that he just brought it up, though.
Well, he didn't. Somebody asked him a question
but
saying
he could have shot it down if it
was. Well, he was being very candid in this interview, which I think is very refreshing. But I think it's something that you have to consider if you're looking at Cam and knowing that what happened to Andrew Luck. Again, we don't know if it's the same injury. We don't know what the same scenario is or if it's the same scenario. But Luck got hurt in the 2015 season, week 3. Then he suffered the kidney laceration. Came back in 2016, played through the shoulder injury, played the entire year. I had some more surgery in 2017. Couldn't get back from the recovery process and missed the entire season. So I think it's just from the standpoint of if he's not right and you're Tepper, don't throw him out there. If he's not right, you're going to have a setback maybe another year.
Which makes me believe that if he is out there, he won't be at 100%.
Unless he has surgery in the recovery process, it's fine. If he has surgery in the next few weeks and, okay, he gets through the recovery process.
We've been down that road before with him.
But we don't know if it was the same thing.
Right.
All right. I'm getting nervous, though, you know.
Okay, so there's two scenarios of this. If you're a Dynasty Keeper League owner and you're allowed to make trades now, do you try and get Cam cheap?
Yes.
How cheap? It would have to be someone's freaking out like I'm freaking out.
Look, we know what rookie drafts tend to be. There's a handful of guys that go at the beginning
of
the rookie draft.
Am I trading a first-round pick in a rookie draft for Cam Newton right now, and I need the quarterback?
If you're at the back end of the first round.
I don't care where I am in the first round. With this year's draft, I'll give up 101 for Cam. But I'm not giving up.
I'm not doing it.
I'm not giving up a ton for Cam as far as established players on my.
Would you trade Josh Allen for Cam Newton right now?
Yes.
Would you trade Lamar Jackson for Cam Newton?
I think I'd rather have Allen. I might trade Jackson.
I might rather have Jackson. So this is just.
That's funny.
Sam Darnold.
Rather have Darnold.
I'd rather have Cam.
Would you rather have Baker Mayfield?
Yes.
I think I'd rather have Baker.
Okay. So
we found someone that we agree.
And Josh Rosen, I think it's easy to trade Josh Rosen for Cam Newton at this point, just, you know, not knowing what he's going to become in Cliff Kingsbury's offense. All right, so we'll see what happens with Cam as we get closer to the start of next season. If he has not had surgery, he's probably going to fall in a lot of drafts and on a lot of draft boards because of the fear of what could happen with the shoulder if he's not 100% right, and that will obviously impact probably everything outside of Christian McCaffrey. Jaguars coach Doug Marrone said Leonard Fournette is in a really good place following a team meeting last week, and Marrone said to the Jaguars team website, "We had a good meeting. I'm not going to speak for Leonard, but when he left that meeting, I think he's in a really good place. That's encouraging, and I'm excited about that." Fournette also was apparently on the same page with Jaguars czar Tom Coughlin after they met, probably in the same meeting or in the same course of meetings to close the season. And in this latest non-PPR mock draft, he was drafted in terms of Fournette with the last pick in round 3 as the number 18 running back off the board. Dave, I know you've been very adamant that you're going to probably avoid Fournette in a lot of leagues next year. Is end of round 3, 18th running back off the board, non-PPR too soon for you? Or now that you're hearing some of these things coming out of Jacksonville, you're getting a little bit more encouraged?
It's not too soon. I think that that's a good enough spot for Fournette. I am concerned about how long he'll hold up for. I want to know what that offensive line is going to look like, but I think we can assume that it's going to come back stronger than it was at any point this year.
They're three best players. I mean, Linder got hurt.
Yep.
Norwell got hurt. Robinson got hurt. You know,
yeah, the whole left and middle of the offensive line
was playing,
shattered.
I think, 4 left tackles at one point.
So I think the line will be better. We know there's going to be a quarterback change, but we do know who the new offensive coordinator is going to be in Jacksonville. And how did he do with Dalvin Cook this year?
He just got fired for not running enough.
Right, exactly. So I'm a little worried about Fournette, but having him as the 18th running back off the board, we're talking about the end of round 3.
He was the last pick in round 3.
I'd be okay with that. I'm not in love with it, but I'm okay with it.
Now, Heath, before you answer, just to let you know, in the first podcast that we did post season, both of you guys were not here. I did it with Will Brinson. Will said, which I tend to agree with, depending on where you get him, I think end of round 3, round 4-ish is a good spot for Fournette. This is the type of player that if he's right, you win a league with. Because if he bounces back to what he showed you as a rookie, again, yards per carry was not good, but we know that what he was able to do when he got heavy volume of touches, he was very successful when he was on the field. He had a suspension during his rookie season. He missed time with injuries. But over 12 games, he could be a very successful fantasy running back at the right price. Sorry, Heath, go ahead.
No, I agree with that completely. I'm fine with him at the end of the third, early fourth round. If he starts creeping into the second, then it's going to be a hard pass for me.
Yeah, it's just a matter. And again, format will be important too. Now, he does have the ability, and he's shown us at times that when he does get targets, he is a pretty decent pass catcher. But I think if he says what he says at the end of the season, that he needs to be in better shape, and the coaching staff, which is the same, and the people in charge, which are the same, are backing him, and they don't bring in anybody of significance. Now, we'll see what they do with Carlos Hyde, who they traded for in the middle of the season with a fifth-round pick. If they decide to cut him, which is a speculation, if T.J. Yeldon leaves as a free agent, that's certainly going to help Leonard Fournette's status, but they also could bring somebody else in. And the play caller and quarterback will be important, and Dave, you alluded to this. So they hired John DeFilippo as their new offensive coordinator. He was a Browns offensive coordinator in 2015, the Browns offensive coordinator in 2015, Eagles quarterbacks coach 2016, 2017, and 12 games as the Vikings offensive coordinator this past year before being fired, as you guys have said. Just looking at it from the Fournette standpoint, he didn't want to run the ball very much with Dalvin Cook, or did not appear to want to run the ball as much with Dalvin Cook. It's a very strange hire, just given the circumstances, because the team that seems like all they want to do is run the ball. We don't know who the quarterback is going to be, but there is speculation that based on his history with the Eagles, with Nick Foles, that they decide to maybe make a run at Foles. So if, let's just say, we'll jump ahead. Nick Foles is the quarterback for the Jaguars. This means what for the offense, and means what for Leonard Fournette? Anything change, or still end of third, beginning of fourth, that's the right spot for him?
Yeah, I'm drafting him there on the assumption that there's an upgrade at quarterback and that the offensive line comes back healthy in Jacksonville.
Okay, so in terms of the passing game, let's just say it's Nick Foles. What does that mean?
I assume they're going to add a receiver too, I hope.
Well, they're getting Marquise Lee back, you know, coming off the ACL that he suffered in the preseason. They have most likely losing Dante Moncrief, who signed a 1-year deal. I believe he's going to be gone.
Well, that's a big loss.
Then you have, you know, the young kids who are still going to be part of this with D.D. Westbrook and hopefully a better Keelan Cole.
How about a better
and
DJ
a better DJ Chark.
Chark?
You know, so it's not an awful receiving core, and we'll see. I think Austin Seferian Jenkins signed a 2-year deal when he signed with them last year. So let's just assume those are the guys. Offense to avoid outside of Fournette?
Probably.
Westbrook late round pick.
I like Westbrook quite a bit. And if he's got Foles and there's some buzz over the summer about how Foles and Westbrook are really working well together, then I could get excited about Westbrook in the 8th, 9th, 10th round.
More PPR than non-PPR?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot still to be determined in Jacksonville, but, you know, they are starting to get things in place for Fournette coming back and DeFilippo as the offense coordinator. The Lions hired Daryl Bevel as their new offense coordinator. Bevel has been offense coordinator with the Vikings from 2006 to 2010 and the Seahawks from 2011 to 2017. So he is a run first guy. That seems to be the MO of what the Lions are going to try to establish with, you know, what they showed with Kerryon Johnson and the offensive line moves that they made last season. But they still have Matthew Stafford and Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones. What does this mean for the Lions offense?
I don't think it means anything bad for those guys. I think the offense will probably be a little more balanced under Bevel. I haven't crunched the numbers on Bevel's recent track record, but
he's had some big games, big seasons from Brett Favre in Minnesota.
Yeah, because it's Brett Favre. Right, they're staying in the West Coast scheme. It's. I don't think it's going to change much. I hope it means that it's Kerryon Johnson time and that he gets the type of workload that a second year back with his ability should get.
I do think it's interesting because Bevel is like, he had 4 years in Seattle where they were first, second, or third in rush attempts. But the last 2 years in Seattle, they were really more pass heavy. They ranked higher in pass attempts than they did in rush attempts.
And that was with Marshawn Lynch gone. So right. That was at the Eddie Lacy, Chris Carson, Thomas Rawls, you know, experience.
I think what may determine it more than anything is how good the defense can be. But the offensive line's there. Kerryon's awesome. If they decide to go run heavy, it'll be great for him.
And what they did show is they could stop the run once they added Damon Harrison. So we'll see if they can improve their pass defense, and that would make things a little bit more nip and tuck throughout the course of the game. So yeah, Kerryon Johnson, I think he's the biggest winner from Daryl Bevel becoming the offensive coordinator there. The Broncos hire Rich Scangarello. I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Nailed it.
As their new offensive coordinator, he was just the 49ers quarterback coach. He's worked with Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco and Atlanta, bounced around the college ranks quite a bit. So initially it was Gary Kubiak. So we know that whoever's going to run the offense is probably going to run the offense because of Vic Fangio being a defense coordinator with his background. So the Broncos offense, let's assume Case Keenum's a starter right now and the receiving core kind of stays what it is with maybe at some point healthy return of Emmanuel Sanders. Most likely, though, it's the young kids of Cortland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton, and Tim Patrick with Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman in the backfield. So, Heath, your thoughts on the Broncos offense now? Anything change?
Not really. I think they're going to probably be run heavy. That's what Fangio hire suggests to me as the head coach, even if they are hiring a quarterback coach. I'm not excited really about the passing game. Deshaun could be good in PPR. Cortland Sutton still has a ton of upside, but he's going to have to show more than he did in the second half of this season.
I'd get excited about Hamilton. I'd get excited about Phillip Lindsay. This is going to be a West Coast offense in the mold of Kyle Shanahan that goes all the way back to his daddy, Mike Shanahan. This is what they were running before. I just think that they ended up being a little too conservative. Maybe because it was Case Keenum under center. Maybe it was because they traded away Demaryius Thomas and then Emmanuel Sanders got hurt and they ended the year being forced to be a little more cautious with the football and cautious with their play calling. I'm cautiously optimistic about how this will turn out for Denver, but if it's still Case Keenum under center, you know what the risks are. He could turn the ball over four times in a game.
Yeah, we'll see. And we'll see if Fangio helps the defense because maybe giving them a little bit more time of possession, some more, you know, just offensive plays, that'll certainly help. It's funny because Keenum was good for the offense in Minnesota 2 years ago and bad for the offense in Denver last year. So we'll see which Case Keenum we get if, in fact, he is back as the quarterback for the Broncos next year. They also could make a run at Nick Foles just given what their scenario looks like and if they decide to move on from Keenum in 2019. Let's talk about SeatGeek. We love SeatGeek. It's a great way to save money. By the way, if you want to take $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase, just download the app and use the code FFT. That's code FFT for $10 off your first purchase. I can't wait to start going to some NBA games now that the NFL season is wrapping up. You can go to NHL games. And spring training is right around the corner. You can also use SeatGeek for concerts and shows. I use it to go to Hamilton. Heath told you about getting, you know, some concert tickets for him and his wife. It's certainly something that you use not just for sporting events. SeatGeek searches multiple ticket sites, grades every ticket based on value, saves you time, and saves you money, and every purchase is fully guaranteed. Remember, you can save $10. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FFT. That's promo code FFT for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets. All right, Dave, here's the first two emails we're going to read.
All right, you're going to do it.
Let's go. Dear Sanders, Skoronsky, Lily, and Hayes, and this is from Andy from a city with lots of lakes around it.
A city with lots of lakes around it. No, you got a city with a lot of lakes around it? First one that came to my mind was Minneapolis.
I'm going to guess Minneapolis.
It's the land of lakes.
Yeah.
The land of lakes.
Well, that's Minnesota is the land of lakes. Is Minneapolis the city of lakes? Let's just go with it.
All right. And I have no idea who Sanders, Skoronsky, Lily, and Hayes are.
Lily and Hayes are cowboys, if I recall.
Oh, Dion? Could be Sanders?
Could be.
Yeah, very well could be.
Buster,
all right.
Buster Skoronsky.
Well, Bob Skoronsky is a former Packer.
Okay. Corners?
No, this guy looked like he played on the line.
Anyway.
I don't know if I've got the connection between these guys.
Andy, you can write us back and tell us again. You can email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. All right, so Andy wants to know, please pick one for a one.
Oh, they're
one...
Bobs. They're all Bobs.
Bob Sanders, Bob Skoronsky, Bob Lilly, and Bob Hayes. Sounds good. All right, please pick one for a one-keeper PPR league. Travis Kelce in the third round, Philip Lindsay in the eighth round, or Robert Woods in the ninth round. So one-keeper PPR league. Who you got, Heath?
Lindsay in the eighth.
Dave?
I'm too busy looking up Bob's. I'll probably say Lindsay in the eighth as well. That's really good value.
I'm going to take Lindsay in the eighth as well for a clean sweep. And Matthew wants to know. Matthew does not say a city. Pick a city.
Park City, Utah.
All right. Matthew from Park City, Utah wants to know. Pick two. James Conner for an eighth rounder, Sony Michel for a seventh rounder, or Christian McCaffrey in the first round. Let's assume it's PPR.
I'll take Conner and Michel.
It's too good a value to pass up.
McCaffrey's going to be a first rounder anyway. You could potentially still draft McCaffrey depending on where you pick. And we are going to get into the championship round preview right after this.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so the championship games, it's the AFC and the NFC championship games. These are the top four scoring offenses in the NFL from the regular season. You have Kansas City number one, the Rams number two, New Orleans number three, New England at number four, and both of these games are rematches. We'll start with the AFC. So you have the Patriots at the Chiefs. Who you guys got?
Chiefs.
I'm taking the Chiefs.
I'm going to take the Patriots just because it's my preseason prediction. I'm going to stand by it. But
if
I
you
would
didn't
not
predict
surprised.
It, would you still take the Patriots?
I would take the Patriots with the points. I'd probably take the Chiefs to win. I think they are 3.5-point favorites or 4.5-point favorites. But I think it's going to be a great game. And I don't think the weather is going to be an impact. But the Patriots
nope.
beat
Looks
the Chiefs.
Looks like it's getting better.
Yep. Patriots beat the Chiefs 43-40 in New England in week six. In that week, Patrick Mahomes was the number two fantasy quarterback. Tom Brady was the number 12 quarterback. They had, at the time, Kareem Hunt, who was the number four running back in non-PPR leagues. And Sony Michel was number six. Tyreek Hill was the number one receiver. He scored three touchdowns. That was a non-PPR. And Julian Edelman was number 19. So Mahomes that game, 352 passing yards, four touchdowns, two interceptions. Brady, who is playing in his amazingly eighth straight AFC championship game, he had in that game... 23 fantasy points on 340 passing yards, one touchdown, and he also scored on the ground. Philip Rivers last week against the Patriots had 331 passing yards, scored 31 fantasy points. He's the only quarterback to top 17 points in the last four games against New England, and Kansas City has allowed five quarterbacks to score at least 21 fantasy points in the past seven games. The quarterback you like best in this game is who?
The quarterback I like best in this game is Patrick Mahomes because he's been awesome. It's a tough secondary for him to throw on, but I think Tyreek Hill is going to be a major equalizer. I think Kelce could have a real good game. But the thing that stood out to me, the Patriots rank last among the last four teams in sacks this season. I think they're right around 35 sacks. I don't have it in front of me. Chiefs have racked up 55
sacks. That's from the regular season?
Sacks, regular and post.
Okay.
Chiefs, regular season and one post game or postseason game, 55 sacks. And you know how big of a factor that was against the Colts offensive line last week, and that's one of the best in football. So I think that's going to matter. That's what pushed me toward taking Kansas City. If there's one thing that I stick with when I pick a playoff game, it's pass rush. I think that matters a lot this time of year.
And the Chiefs have got the most quarterback pressures at home this year.
They've been amazing.
A team. Yep. And it's really interesting because both these defenses have been very good at home and just atrocious on the road. And the Patriots gave up 40 in New England to this offense. I think they're the 31st defense on the road. So I'll definitely take Mahomes.
And we'll see what about value when we get to some of the DFS previews. So the running backs in this game, you have Sony Michel. He's coming off a monster performance, 24 carries for 129 yards and three touchdowns against the Chargers. When these teams met in week six, he had 24 carries for 106 yards and two touchdowns. And then Damien Williams is coming off his amazing performance. Maybe Heath will buy it now, but 25 carries for 129 yards and a touchdown against the Colts with five catches for 25 yards on six targets. I don't want to forget about James White, who... This is just, the stat line is amazing. 15 catches for 97 yards on 17 targets against the Chargers. In week six, he had six carries for 39 yards and five catches for 53 yards. So I'll say again, rank the running backs in this game based on the three guys, Michel, Williams, and James White.
For me, it's Williams, then Michel, then James White. White's third for me this week. I think it's a little bit of a
in
tougher
PPR
matchup. Yeah, I think so. I think the way that Sony's running the ball, the opportunities that he's been getting, and the Chiefs have allowed five rushing touchdowns in their last six games to running backs, well over 4 yards per carry. I think that this is exploitable, and I think that Sony is going to continue to see a lot of work for the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like – and this kind of goes back to what I think about the whole Patriots offense in this game. I don't know that they have anybody at all that can scare you deep. And so I kind of expect the Chiefs to just put a lot of guys – I mean – watch Julian Edelman, watch James White in the passing game, and just shut down the run game. So,
I think every defense does that with them. I mean, they don't really have a lot of guys that have scared you deep throughout the course of their history. You know, Randy Moss, obviously, but since right. him, I mean, it's kind of been, you know, a Brandon Lloyd here, a Josh Gordon there. You know, it's not like that's their offense.
Right. I don't think most teams have the pass rush that the Chiefs have in this building.
True, no. But that also lends itself to Tom Brady ball out quick, which is Edelman and James White. And
exactly. Yeah, I think White's better than Michelle. I think Williams is the clear number one, White's the clear number two, and I think Sony might struggle a little bit.
If they can't get the run established early, I don't think you're going to see a lot of Sony Michel. So he makes me a little bit nervous, but if he does get going, then it's going to be a lot of Sony Michel. And what they did against the Chargers with Gronk as an extra offensive lineman, that was impressive with how they ran the ball against that Chargers defense. But this is a much different defense in their building, so we'll see how that goes. All right, the wide receivers are certainly interesting. You have the two headliners in Tyreek Hill and Julian Edelman. Hill, one of the best games that he had all season, seven catches for 142 yards and three touchdowns on 12 targets in week six. And Julian Edelman did score against the Chiefs, but he only had four catches for 54 yards and a touchdown that game. Now, Edelman's coming off a strong game, nine catches for 151 yards. He actually became the number two leader in receptions in playoff history behind, no surprise, Jerry Rice. He passed Reggie Wayne for to move into second. And then you have the two secondary receivers for the two respective teams. Now, obviously, there are other players here, but just in looking at it, Sammy Watkins came back last week after missing the final five games of the regular season, had six catches for 62 yards on eight targets against the Colts, while Philip Dorsett had a pretty good game for him in the playoffs against the Chargers, four catches, 41 yards, and a touchdown on five targets. Now, he has six games this season with at least five targets, and he scored at least 14 PPR points in four of them. So looking at the receivers, how do you sort of approach it with these two teams?
Well, Tyreek Hill is going to be the most explosive one, obviously, in the game. So I would put him first. And I think the
But he
Patriots
wasn't great last
have...
week, though. I mean, he was good in terms of his volume and catches, but 8 for 72.
Well, he had Colts... 100 total yards and the rushing touchdown.
Sure,
and
but you got
call the rushing touchdown fluky.
But in terms of the Colts containing him, the Patriots will probably do a much better job containing him than they did the first time.
Well, I would hope so. They allowed three touchdowns the last time they played against him. So for the Patriots' sake, I hope they do. But I don't think that they're going to be able to do it so easily. I don't think it's as simple as saying, well, let Stephon Gilmore line up against Tyreek Hill and that just takes him out of the game. I don't think they've got a defensive back that can run with Tyreek Hill, and the Chiefs are going to try and scheme him across the middle, the deep ball, screens, runs, everything. They're going to get a lot of Tyreek Hill. He's my favorite. Edelman is going to be my number two favorite, and I like the matchup for him against Kendall Fuller in the slot. And then finding that third receiver is going to be tricky, but I'm going to go with Philip Dorsett. I think he's the best shot the Patriots have on the outside. And a real interesting thing here, the two outside corners for Kansas City, one is Charvarius Ward, I don't know how long you've known about him, Heath. I've only learned about
him. He's been good lately.
In the last couple of weeks. He's a lot of high catch rate, but he's been good otherwise. The other corner is Steven Nelson. And if you've been paying attention, he's been dreadful. He's allowed a ton of touchdowns. And I would imagine the Patriots are going to try and draw things up to score on him in the red zone. I would assume that would be Dorsett getting those opportunities ahead of Hogan in that spot. And Dorsett's real cheap in daily.
He's so the best sleeper you can find.
I think he's somebody that you put in your lineup so that you can afford some of these other great
Again,
players.
The track record speaks for itself. Six games with five targets, and four of those he's hit at least 14 or more PPR points. So he's been very consistent when he's been getting those five-plus targets.
I think the Chiefs' receivers are really interesting. I don't know that it's that far-fetched that Sammy's better than Hill in this game. It just depends on what Bill Belichick wants to do. Because Belichick could come close to taking Tyreek Hill away. If he does, I expect Watkins is going to have a monster game because he's been pretty good when they've thrown the ball and he's been healthy. So I think one of the Chiefs receivers will be better than Julian Edelman, but I don't know which one. And Hill definitely has the most upside.
And then you go to the tight ends, and this is kind of where Belichick has taken away somebody. He's done a pretty good job in the three matchups against Travis Kelce. The first time they faced him, when Kelce was first or second year, he scored a touchdown against them. But in three career meetings against them, 18 catches, 194 yards and a touchdown. And in week six, five catches for 61 yards. So while Mahomes was going crazy, Kelce still got nine targets but didn't have a big game because the Patriots kept everything in front of them with Kelce. So he's coming off a game with seven catches for 108 yards on 10 targets. Now at home, in nine games at home, including the playoffs, he's averaging 15.3 PPR points. So he's pretty successful when he plays in Arrowhead. The other side, the guy used to be pretty successful in the playoffs, might be playing his last game. There are reports that Rob Gronkowski could retire after the season. So if the Patriots do lose, this could be the last time we see Rob Gronkowski. He's coming off a terrible performance, one catch for 25 yards on one target, but he was really used more for blocking than he was for receiving against the Chargers. But the last time he faced the Chiefs, three catches for 97 yards on four targets, so one of his better games this year. Obviously, Kelce is the best tight end left in the playoffs. Is Gronk still the number two?
Yes. The answer is yes. He is,
he's the number two. Yeah, I wouldn't want to bet a lot of money on Gronk finishing number two this week.
Right.
But he's still the second best. Eric Berry's most likely going to be back for this game.
That might not be a good thing for the Chiefs.
I don't know. He hasn't been able to play a full game, but the snaps that he's played, the defense has been a lot better. I think he does a lot in terms of just telling everybody what they're supposed to be doing. Yeah.
Not against the Seahawks, excuse me. That's the last game. Berry was not playing very well.
I'm not going to play Gronk in DFS this week.
I am. What if I told you that he ran the most pass routes? He tied for the most pass routes.
Did you just use air quotes for the word ran?
Yes. In his since he got hurt, 40 pass routes last week on 77 snaps. Yes, he was certainly a great blocker. They made plenty of notes on it on the broadcast, but it's not like he was a total non-factor in the game.
Well, he was a total non-factor in the game from what things that matter in terms of targets.
That's my fault for saying that he wasn't at all. He was a non-factor in the game, but he wasn't a non-factor in terms of being a possible outlet in the passing game. And I think
Brady's not even looking at him.
Well.
You can run as many routes as you want. Who cares?
Was he double covered? Maybe there was a reason why.
When he was double covered in the past, that wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah. Well, if you're still being double covered, Brady's smart enough to go to a different guy like James White, who doesn't typically get 15 catches a game. I think Gronk can bounce back against Kansas City. I think that at the price that he's at in daily, it's not bad. He's cheaper than he's ever been, I believe. And I think he's got some potential here, and I think the Patriots are going to have to put points up on the board. They're going to have to score. They're going to have to lean on Brady a little bit. And I think Gronk in the red zone could come through. I know it's not popular to say. Everybody's ready
to
write him off and
I don't disagree with you based on the price tag, because if it comes down for me, I think that the Patriots are going to try and take away Kelce. And so if you don't want to spend the money on Kelce, again, his home track record is great. His track record against the Patriots and what the Patriots tend to do, not so great. So I think it comes down to, if you're looking at Kelce and the guys in the price range that Kelsey's in, Tyreek Hill, Julian Edelman, players like that, it makes more sense to go with those guys. And then you have to sort of play the guessing game at tight end, which is, does Gronk have some opportunities? Does Benjamin Watson, who we'll talk about in a second, who scored against the Rams the first time these teams met? Or pick your favorite Rams tight end. It comes down to who has the most upside. I still think Gronk has the most upside. Like you said, Heath, I wouldn't want to bet that he's the second best tight end, But going in, he's the second best tight end, and he's obviously a lot cheaper on both sides than Kelce.
By the
way, we'll get to that in a second. So let's go down to the Rams and Chiefs in the NFC Championship game. In week 9, the Saints beat the Rams 45-35. That was in New Orleans. For that week, Drew Brees was the number one quarterback in fantasy. Jared Goff was number 3. Alvin Kamara was the number 2 running back in non-PPR leagues. Todd Gurley was number 13. Michael Thomas, the number 1 wide receiver. Brandon Cooks was number 6. Cooper Kupp, who was healthy at the time, was number 8. And Benjamin Watson was the number 6 tight end in non-PPR leagues. So obviously the score lends itself to all these guys playing at a very high level. Let's start with the quarterbacks there. So Brees in that game, 346 yards and 4 touchdowns. Again, that was week 9. We've seen a lot of different Drew Breeses over the course of the remaining games, including the playoffs. But that 38-point day was tied for his second-best total of the season. He had 45 points against Atlanta in week 3 and 38 against Philadelphia in week 11. And then you have Jared Goff, who also had his best game on the road that game at New Orleans in week 9, 34 fantasy points on 391 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. He is coming off an 8-point fantasy game, and he's averaging just 15.5 fantasy points on the road this year. So how do you look at these two quarterbacks?
I actually think I prefer Goff. I definitely prefer Goff in DFS because he's just a little bit cheaper, and I don't know that there's going to be a huge difference. I expect both quarterbacks to be good. And if I'm playing the quarterback I'm playing is probably coming from this game this week. It's probably going to be Brees or Goff, but I think Goff throws the ball more than Brees does. I don't think the Rams have the same success running the ball they did last week.
Now, our colleague, Drink, Pete Prisco, thinks that without Sheldon Rankins in there, you are going to see a lot of running from the Rams. And just given what happened to Sean McVay in the playoffs last year, how he won the game last week, and with the two running backs playing how they are, plus what Goff has done on the road. I understand theory, but I think I'm with you. I think the Saints are actually playing with a lead in this game and the Rams are chasing points. So I think you're going to see Goff have to throw, but we'll see if he has the same success based on how he's been on the road.
Goff scares me. Don't like how he's played in the last couple of weeks. And I think the Rams have really kind of uncovered that their run game is very good. I'm sure that they're going to try to attack right where Sheldon Rankins used to line up. Saints have some defensive depth there, but I don't think they're necessarily as good as Sheldon Rankins. But I don't think their run defense just falls apart and all of a sudden Todd Gurley and CJ Anderson have another 100 and however many yards each. The thing that stood out to me about are we talking about the running backs or just the quarterbacks?
Quarterbacks.
All right. Brees, easy. Safest call you can make this week in daily.
Yep. Coming off a 22-point game against the Eagles last week. Ugly throw to open the game, but he rebounded well to go over 300 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. Let's look at the running backs now. So you have Alvin Kamara against the Rams in week 9, 19 carries for 82 yards and 2 touchdowns, 4 catches for 34 yards and a touchdown on 5 targets. He had 14 PPR points last week against the Eagles, and he scored at least 14 PPR points in 5 games in a row. Mark Ingram, however, scored single digits in PPR in 5 of his past 7 games. He has not been playing well, and he was terrible against the Rams with 9 carries for 33 yards and 1 catch for 3 yards on 2 targets with a fumble. The Rams have actually allowed a running back to score or gain at least 100 total yards in 5 games in a row. And talked about this, Gurley and Anderson coming off a monster game against Dallas, 39 carries for 238 yards and 3 touchdowns. And no Sheldon Rankins against the Saints in week 9. Gurley had 13 carries for 68 yards and a touchdown. He had 6 catches for 11 yards, but he did have 7 targets in that game. New Orleans has allowed just 2 running backs, 2 touchdowns to opposing running backs in their last 5 games. So a lot of people are going to be excited about Anderson. I would say stay away.
Head for the hills. Most of his work came in the fourth quarter. 15 of his 34 snaps and 9 of his carries came in the fourth quarter, including his second touchdown. He had the first touchdown early on. That's great. Gurley played 4 of 45 snaps in the fourth quarter and 2 carries. And even though it was a one-score game, the Rams had a pretty commanding lead going into the second half. So I think part of it is the Rams realizing, hey, CJ Anderson, you're playing pretty well. You can finish off the game. Todd Gurley had a conditioning issue. Hopefully he's over that now. I think Gurley sees far and away the most work here, especially if they're chasing points.
Yeah, I like Gurley more than Anderson, but I like Kamara more than both of them.
Me too.
Same.
So the one that's really interesting to me is Mark Ingram, because he wasn't good against the Rams and he hasn't been good as of late. But there hasn't been a lot of predictability about when Mark Ingram's going to be good. I mean, he was good on the road for a couple of weeks, and then he had a terrible road game. I kind of think Ingram at 6,100 on FanDuel could be a really good flex play.
If you want to go cheap, it's not a bad option, and all he takes is him scoring a touchdown, you know, because he's probably going to get somewhere 8 to 12 carries and, you know, a couple catches out of the backfield. But yes, he has been terrible. This could be his last game with the Rams, with the Saints against the Rams. He is a free agent after the season.
He's talking like he wants to come back, though.
He'll do
anything he can to come. He wants to stay with one team his whole career.
I'm sure he does. He will be 30 going into next season. For the receivers, Michael Thomas has just been an absolute star at home with Drew Brees. He's averaging 25.8 PPR points in the 8 home games that Brees has played this season. Brees did not play in week 17. Thomas did in that loss against Carolina. Thomas just had 35 PPR points against the Eagles in the divisional round, with 12 catches for 171 yards and a touchdown on 16 targets, and he had 12 catches for 211 yards and a touchdown on 15 targets against the Rams. For the other Saints receivers, Ted Ginn coming off bad game, Traquan Smith, same thing. Keith Kirkwood scored a touchdown. Now, the only player who played in the game against the Rams earlier this season was Traquan Smith. He had 2 catches for 23 yards on 3 targets, but he scored a touchdown. Then you have the Saints. So you have the Rams. They had 3 guys get at least 12 PPR points in that first game. Cooks had 23 points. Kupp had 19 points. Woods had 12 points. As we know, Kupp is out with the torn ACL, but Cooks had 6 catches for 114 yards and a touchdown on 8 targets. That was against the team that drafted him in 2014. So if you want to go with the revenge game factor, we'll see if that factors again. And then Robert Woods, 5 catches for 71 yards on 9 targets. Both Woods and Cooper coming off games where they had under 70 yards receiving against the Cowboys last week.
Yeah, I struggle with these receivers. I think you don't, it's
Thomas
like,
is the best. That's easy.
Well, yes. But the Rams receivers are really difficult because it wouldn't be all that surprising if Josh Reynolds scores 2 touchdowns. It wouldn't be that surprising if Brandon Cooks in a revenge game takes the top off the defense one time, and Woods is probably going to lead them in targets and receptions. I'm not currently planning on playing any of the 3 in DFS.
I like Woods. I like the matchup in the slot against PJ Williams. I think that's where he'll be the most, and I think he can pick up some good numbers there. He typically gets a lot of targets to begin with, too. I'll lean on Woods.
Oh, Woods is very consistent, but it's the high floor versus the low ceiling, because if he doesn't score, then you're not getting a great
game. Isn't it like that with everybody here?
Well, Cooks, I think, has the higher ceiling just based on what his touchdown potential is. So
okay.
I'll take my chances with Cooks, again, playing on a surface that he's had a lot of success on against a team that he probably wants to have success against, and so he has already the track record of doing it once before. For the tight ends, not a lot to speak of. This is potentially Benjamin Watson's last game. He will retire after the season, so whenever their season is over, so will Watson's career. He had 1 catch for 12 yards on 1 target last week, but he did have 3 catches for 62 yards and a touchdown on 4 targets against the Rams in week 9. For the Rams guys, Tyler Higbee had 2 catches for 30 yards on 4 targets against the Cowboys last week. Everett did not have a target, but in week 9, the 2 tight ends combined for 5 catches for 88 yards on 9 targets. Everett was the more productive of the two there with 3 catches for 48 yards on 5 targets. If you want to go cheap at tight end, which of these guys do you like the best?
I guess I'll take Everett. He ran more routes last week than Higbee. Higbee plays more every week, but he does a lot of blocking. Saints have allowed some touchdowns to tight ends lately, but it's been a little fluky. One was on a trick play. One was against backups. That was against Carolina. And Cameron Brake caught 2 of them. I don't like any tight end other than Kelce or Gronk this week. I don't want to start any tight end in this game. Everett, I guess you're putting a gun to my head. Him, Everett.
Yeah, but not like I'm not planning on playing a tight end in this game either.
Yeah, to me, tight end feels almost like a punt play this week. It's just whatever you get, you get.
Well, if it's a punt play, then you would take one of these.
Punting as in if I'm avoiding.
So if you were going to do,
I'm not worried about tight end. I'm going to play Ben Watson or Higbee or.
Okay. So you are going to go with one of the guys.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm not spending the money on Kelce.
Are you
so
interested
I'll take
in Josh Hill?
No.
Okay.
I'll take my chances with Watson, maybe with a swan song his last game in New Orleans because they are done.
Hill ran more routes last week. Played just about as many snaps as Watson.
Sure.
And I believe he's cheaper.
Like
if you're going to probably let's punt.
Probably is, but I'll take Watson's potential to score.
Oh, I've got a punt for you, Dave. Just wait till we get to the lineups.
Okay, let's go to. Some good buys and bad buys.
Is it a receiver that we haven't talked about?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's go to some good buys and bad buys for the championship round if you play on FanDuel and DraftKings. So Heath, start us off with some good buys on FanDuel. Excuse me.
I'm playing Damian Williams for sure. So he's in my lineup. I like the value for a couple of $5,500 wide receivers. Sammy Watkins. We talked about that earlier. I think there's a ton of upside there. And listen, Ted Ginn was the chalk punt receiver last week, and he kind of busted. But he only busted because of a bad Drew Brees throw, and you don't want to count on those. So I like Ted Ginn's value as well.
They tried to get him going. And last week on FanDuel, he was at the cheapest price possible. You had to use
He's
Ted
probably going
to
see a lot of Marcus Peters.
And his price went up as well. I don't mind Ginn at 4,300 on DraftKings, but Dorsett's at 3,900. I can't resist that. I love that value. Edelman at 6,600. If he gets you 20 PPR points, plus the bonus at 100 yards if he gets there, which I think I will, I think he's a good one, too. Those would be my two favorite good buys.
All right, give me some bad buys on DraftKings.
Well, Jared Goff at 5,400 makes me nervous. I know it's the cheapest price for a quarterback this week, but you can spend up a little bit and get you can get Brady, you can get Breeze, or you can spend up a lot and get Patrick Mahomes. I would go in one of those other directions than Goff. And, Jamie, I know you're going to take one of those cheap tight ends, but any tight end other than Kelce or Gronk this week is a bad buy, in my opinion, because I just don't think they're going to be even good for 6 points. I'd rather take my chances and just get – I want to get just production, period. And that's why Kelce's going to be my tight end. I know he's expensive, but I know I'm going to get something better than 6 points from Travis Kelce.
So I've got Todd Gurley. On FanDuel, he is the most expensive running back. I'd rather play Alvin Kamara. I definitely rather play Damian Williams for the money. I don't like Tom Brady, and I don't like Rob Gronkowski.
Okay, so there's some good buys and bad buys. All right, Heath, hit me with your lineup on FanDuel.
So I've got Jared Goff, Damian Williams, James White, Julian Edelman, Michael Thomas, Sammy Watkins, Mark Ingram in the flex, the most expensive defense, the New Orleans Saints. If you're going to punt at tight end, go all the way. You're just hoping the guy happens to catch a random touchdown. I'm going with Demetrius Harris.
The backup tight end in nice. Kansas City.
All right, Dave, give me
Not
lineup.
Not bad. He can do that.
Give me lineup on DraftKings.
I've got Drew Brees at quarterback at 5,900. He's safe. I'm going to stay away from the stud running backs. I do like Alvin Kamara, but I'm going to go with Damian Williams and Sony Michel to give myself some money to spend at other positions. And I'll do it with Tyreek Hill, Julian Edelman, and Philip Dorsett at wide receiver. And then double tight end, Jamie. Travis Kelce and Rob Gronkowski. Oof. Gronk in the flex at 4,100. That price is cheap. That's my punt play. Saints defense, 2,700. I figure no one's going to take them because they're the most expensive DST.
I have the Saints DST as well on DraftKings. The defense and tight end to me is a waste this week. So I'm going to go Drew Brees at quarterback, Alvin Kamara and Damian Williams at running back, Michael Thomas, Julian Edelman, and Brandon Cooks at wide receiver. I'll play Watson at tight end just with the hope that he scores. James White at the flex spot, and again, the Saints DST. All right, let's go now to some emails. I promised we would get to it, and here we go. Ben from a town in Somerset, England. Come on, Dave.
In Somerset, England?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You don't know any towns in Somerset, England?
You name one.
I mean, there's a bunch of them. I don't know how I'd name my favorite. How about Somerton?
Okay, Somerton in Somerset, England. So here we go, Ben. Hi, Sean, Roger, Pierce, and Daniel. That would be 007s. Keeper question, 10-team, full-point PPR. I can keep up to 3, no round designation. So 3 guys from James Conner, Joe Mixon, Devontae Freeman, Michael Thomas, Juju Smith-Schuster, A.J. Green, and Zach Ertz. So it's a 10-team league, full PPR, and can keep 3 guys. James Conner, Joe Mixon, Devontae Freeman, Michael Thomas, Juju, A.J. Green, and Zach Ertz. I'm going to rule out Devontae Freeman. So give me 3 from Conner, Mixon, Thomas, Juju, Green, and Ertz.
I don't think I'm going to draft them in this order, but I love the idea of starting with Thomas, Juju, and Ertz. In PPR, that's 300 catches right there. Okay. No running backs.
Thomas, Juju, and Ertz. What do you got, Heath?
In a 10-team league, I'll be able to find running backs.
Yeah, I was going to go. I've got to narrow down to 4. Conner, Mixon, Thomas, and Juju.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping Thomas for sure. And I think I'd go with the 2 running backs, Conner and Mixon.
I'm going to go that way as well. I'm going to go Conner, Mixon, and Michael Thomas. From Alex. Alex wants to know, or pick a city, Dave.
Cheddar, England. Cheddar, Somerset, England.
Okay. Alex and Ben can go hang out. 14-team Dynasty half PPR league. Please help me choose 2 of the following 3 to keep for 2019. So 14-team Dynasty league half PPR. Jarvis Landry, Pro Bowl wide receiver in round 6. Curtis Samuel in round 11, who may not have a quarterback based on Cam Newton's shoulder situation.
Kyle Allen, man. Come on.
Or Kiki QT in round 13. Landry in round 6. Samuel in round 11, Kiki in round 13.
I'm a little confused by being a dynasty league, and then he lists the rounds in which he'd, like, does the round even matter? Because in a dynasty league, the round never ever matters. You're keeping these guys forever.
Some people get confused between what keeper and dynasty.
So this is a keeper league. I'm throwing back Landry.
Could you get extra draft picks if you just throw them all back?
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't. I'm keeping QT and Samuel.
So throwing back Landry. I'll keep Landry just based on being a sure thing and hopefully the upgrade in play calling across the course of the season with Todd Monken there and seeing what else they add. So I'll keep Landry and QT with Samuel making me a little bit nervous with the shoulder for Cam Newton next year. All right, grade the trade from Brian. So Brian is from?
Glastonbury, England.
Okay, so Brian, Alex, and Ben can all hang out. Dear Violet, Dash, Jack, and Frozone, that is characters from Incredibles. So in the Dynasty League, he traded, it's a half PPR league, 10 teams. He traded Devontae Adams and Joe Mixon, and he got back Keenan Allen and Nick Chubb. Great the trade. Giving up Devontae Adams and Joe Mixon, getting back Keenan Allen and Nick Chubb.
I'd rather have Adams and Mixon.
I think it's pretty close to a push. I'd rather have Chubb than Mixon for sure. I'd rather have Adams and Allen for sure. You probably C-.
C-, you give it what?
Oh, I don't really give grades. I just say that the trade
says grade the trade.
Okay, so you don't like it, and you
so
give
if
it
I don't
C-.
Like it, I'll give it a D.
I'm gonna
don't like it.
I'm gonna give it D also. I don't like this trade also. So he says he likes Chubb more than Dixon, but couldn't get him without moving Adams. Another trade that he made was he traded David Johnson and got back. Let's see here.
Yeah, I got it in front of me.
Tevin Coleman, Cooper Kupp, a 2020 third round pick as well. So
that's an interesting haul for David Johnson.
Yes, Brian is making a lot of trades, but the one that matters, Devontae Adams and Joe Mixon for Keenan Allen, Nick Chubb. We don't love it, so hopefully it does work out in your favor. This is from JT in New York. Dear Adams handcuffs. That's funny. We've never gotten that one before, so we are apparently Adams backups. Full PPR league, keep three. What are your opinions on keeping a running back handcuff combo? I currently have Aaron Jones in the 7th, Jamal Williams in the 10th, and Matt Breida in the 13th, and Jerick McKinnon in the 15th. Would you consider keeping a pair of running backs? So I'm going to guess the question is, would you keep Jones and Williams with one of the 49ers or keep the 49ers guys with most likely Aaron Jones?
That's what it boils down to. That's what I think it boils down to. I don't have a problem keeping two running backs on the same team if the value is good.
I think the value is great on those 49ers.
It's amazing on the 49ers, but we'll see how healthy McKinnon
is. I don't think
is.
It's so bad on the Packers either. Aaron Jones is going to be a top 35-ish pick.
So I guess the question would become, which is the three best running backs to keep of these four? Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams. Aaron Jones in the 7th, Jamal Williams in the 10th, Matt Breida in the 13th, or Jerick McKinnon in the 15th.
Can you look anybody in the eye and say with confidence that Matt Breida is going to be a dynamic, week-in, week-out superstar running back in the NFL?
Can you say that about Jamal Williams either? And he's three rounds more expensive. I'm throwing Williams back.
I would probably throw Williams back also and keep Aaron Jones.
If I had to keep a combo, I'm keeping the Packers combo because Aaron Jones isn't exactly the picture of perfect health either, and I'd keep McKinnon. If I had to keep three of these four, it's both Packers and McKinnon.
Okay. I'm going to keep the 49ers and Jones. Heath is going to do the same.
Could we just keep Jones and McKinnon and save the pick?
I don't have a problem with Breida in the 13th round if McKinnon is not 100% healthy. He showed us a lot of good things when he was healthy this season. All right, Mark wants to know, where's Mark from?
Oh, well, he would be from Wells, Somerset, England. Okay. It's Mark, Shire County.
Mark from Wells, Somerset, England. Shout out to the CBS gang for helping me win my first title in my super competitive keeper league. The same two guys had won 5 of the past 7 years. I know it's super early, but already dealing with some keeper conundrums. It's just a standard one quarterback league, but running backs are considered a premium since all the top ones are usually kept and tend to go early in the draft. I mortgaged the future this year, so don't have a first, third, or fourth round pick. There's no draft pick associated with the players I keep. My dilemma is who to keep two out of the following four: DeAndre Hopkins, Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, and Travis Kelce. So keep two out of the four players: Hopkins, Mixon, Chubb, and Kelce. Does not have a first, third, or fourth round pick, though. And this is a standard league.
I'm going Chubb and Hopkins.
I am too. Part of the reason why is because I think I can get the most in trade for them, maybe even on draft day, to pick up some extra players so my team isn't so weak compared to everybody else. If he's alive, well, maybe you can trade after the draft. But, you know, Mark, you shot yourself in the foot when you traded away all those draft picks.
You won the title.
That's not shooting
yourself. So now you're paying for it. That's all.
All right, so you're keeping Hopkins and Chubb?
I am.
Both of you?
Yes.
You got to keep Hopkins. Yeah, I think I'm with you there, Hopkins and Chubb, although Mixon's not bad either as well. But, yes, you're getting still two studs, and even though you don't have your first couple of picks, you still should have the chance to maybe get somebody good in the second round, and then hopefully you're still good with those two keepers. All right, our last email comes to us from Jaron. Where's Jaron from?
Secaucus, New Jersey.
Okay, from Secaucus, New Jersey. Full PPR league. Would you keep Aaron Jones in round 10 or Kenny Golladay in round 15? And Jaron's a little bit concerned about Aaron Jones' knee injury sustained last year, as you guys alluded to, not the picture of health.
Yeah, I think you can be concerned just about his injury history. Round 10 is still a great value for him. I'd love to keep Aaron Jones in round 10, but I'd rather keep Kenny Golladay in round 15.
I'll take Jones. I think I'm going to take Jones out of Golladay in drafts.
But five rounds difference?
5 rounds difference. It's late either way. What difference does it make?
I'm taking Kenny Golladay in round 15. That guy could be a star, as he showed us last year in PPR, where Aaron Jones is not exactly the most used wide receiver out of the backfield in Green Bay, or in any team for that matter. And we'll see how that changes with Matt LaFleur as the head coach. So hopefully everybody enjoys the AFC and NFC championship games this weekend. We'll be back next week to break it down and also get into some of our mock draft that we recently took part in. So for Dave, for Heath, I'm Jamie. Gotta go, bye.